بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله، we are now on the 60th lesson, spiritual discourses, and we are discussing the signs of pride. We have mentioned that pride can be judged and assessed from external conduct, signs and gestures, movements and conversations. And a proud man does not want to walk alone. And a proud man does not want to meet others. And now, in today's lesson, we start discussing another sign of a proud man. A proud man is that if the poor sit by him, he does not allow them to come very close to him. It is contrary to modesty, this. The Wali, Hazrat Ibn Wahhab, Rahmatullah alayhi, said, once I sat near Abdul Aziz bin Ali Roha. He joined his thigh with mine. As a result, I moved aside. He dragged my cloth and said, why do you treat me as you treat the proud? Do you not know that you can be worse? You can be worse than myself? Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala said, even an ordinary woman of Medina could catch hold of the hand of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would not take it off until she took him to whatever place she wished. We see this happening, that people want to sit and they do not want to sit with their poor people. Whereas, study the life of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. Out of that, 313 were Rasul. There is a difference between Rasul and Nabi. Out of that, 26 are mentioned in Quran al-Kareem. And out of that, 18 are mentioned in one page, Surah Al-An'am. Study the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam in Quran al-Kareem and read. There is a book we translated, it's called Lantern of Guidance. And it should be available on my website, alislam.co.za, where the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam I mentioned. And you will find that every Nabi, without fail, when he called, when he preached, the poor were there to respond first. And in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he responded first and he was very wealthy. But other than that, every other one that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought into Islam immediately were all poor, slaves. So the poor ones sided the Anbiya alayhi salam, and the Anbiya alayhi salam drew the poor ones near to them, close to them, and did not hesitate to sit with them, interact with them. Because generally the poor ones are ready for sacrifice. That is why you'll find that even the work of Dawat and Tabligh, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh, when he tried various methods of reformation, when you study his life, this work of Dawat and Tabligh did not just crop up. Yes, a lot of happened due to inspiration. But when you study his life in detail, he tried so many things. But eventually, he tried this method in the poor areas of Mewat first. So this work of da'wah and tabligh actually started amongst the poor in Mewat. And from there it began to spread, because the poor are able to sacrifice. They have got the enthusiasm to strive with whatever little they got. And a proud person, he does not want to sit with the poor. He does not want to associate with the poor. He does not want to eat near the poor. And I've seen many places that when you go, especially if you have to go for some work to the rich person, then there is no respect shown, whether you're an alim or not. You are at times making people wait. Yeah, I'm addressing the wealthy. You make the people wait in your reception areas because they are dressed like Maulanas coming for collection. So you make them wait in the reception for hours on end. And after looking at them, meeting them, you don't even want to meet them. So many times you tell your secretaries that just give them some little bit money and off with them. Why? Because you could get no credibility there. But let some other person come, some big size Maulana, big sheikh, then you want to entertain, you want to open your coffers. Why, there is name and fame and all that is happening. But when a simple person comes, then when there is no name and fame attached, then we treat people like the scum. Are we not going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because a sign of a proud person is he does not want to meet with simple people, poor people, easygoing people. That is why, how many times have we invited the poor for a meal? How many times that we sat down and spoke to poor people? How many times that we interacted with poor people? It is said that this is across the floor. That as soon as we think we got a little bit money, we don't want to now touch the poor man. As soon as we think we got a little bit wealth, we don't want to interact with the poor man. And if you look at it, all our ibadat teaches us to level out. Salatul Jamaat. When we give charity, when we give our Sadqatul Fitr, when we go for Hajj, when we fast, all these are leveling things out for us, but we are not understanding. When we go for Salatul Jamaat, we do not know who is standing near us. So there is total interaction. In our masajids, alhamdulillah, we don't have this, that one salat for rich people, another salat for poor people. We do not have this, that this area in the masjid for rich people, that area for poor people. We do not have this in our masajids, that one day, one salat for all black people, another salat for all fair-skinned people. That is why it is stated that in salat we are all equal, the rich and the poor. And everybody, the sinner and the non-sinner, the righteous, the pious and the sinner, all standing before who? Allah Azza wa Jal. Showing that we should destroy this element that we are superior than others. That we should be one interacting. Fasting, when there is fasting, is no such thing that the poor man fast one day and the rich man fast one day. It's equality, everybody fast. The rich man, the poor man, the one staying in the hut at the shack and the one staying in the mansion, all fast. And then internationally, when we go for Hajj, then from all parts of the world, the rich and poor come there. And wallah, If you have walked the Hajj, you'll know that there are more poor people walking than rich people traveling the Hajj. You'll find people have got very little, but they are there. You'll find people from the most poor countries of the world, those poor countries that have been rated low as far as these enemies of Islam methodology of financial judgment, IMF, World Bank, when they rate countries as poor, downtrodden, below the bread line, all that, from those countries most of the Hujjaj come. And we find it from our countries where we're supposed to be affluent and have wealth, we find it difficult financially to get there. But we find, alhamdulillah, by the droves, from those areas which are supposed to be downtrodden financially and difficult, they coming comfortably, easily. And there also, interaction between the rich and the poor. And at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the rich into such a predicament and position that he is prepared to give all his wealth for a glass of water in Arafat or in Muzdalifah. Now, yeah, it's clear that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if someone wanted to ask him something and someone had a need, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when an old lady should hold his hand and take him away for some need, they should do it. Why? There is no pride and full of modesty. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was always trying to compete with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, always trying to compete. And when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who became Khalif, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who thought that now that he is Khalif and his hands will be full, so let me outdo him in good actions also. So he went early to an old lady to help her, serve her, to bring her water, clean her house. But when he got there, the old lady told him, no, that someone has come and done all these activities already for me. She thanked him and said, no, I have been taken care of, attended to. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, how can this be so early in the morning and the job is done? So he waited next day to see who is this person coming so early, attending to the need of this poor, this destitute, this feeble lady. We haven't even thought of that, to interact with someone on that level, that scale. It is out of our imagination, out of our mind. Nevertheless, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala waited in anticipation only to find Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala come there, attend to the needs of that lady who was old and feeble. That is why you will find Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala majmain doing the most simple of activities, helping the needy. That is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala has been famous, that when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, that on the Day of Judgment he will be held accountable, and he is fearing that he may be asked that there was a dog that was thirsty and hungry near the banks of Euphrates. What did you do about it? So here what we learn, that a proud person is one who does not want to interact with the poor, the needy, and the destitute, and the wayfarer. That is why the Shariat is saying, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi writes in another place, that when you dispense and dispose of your zakat, give it to your kith and kin first. Give it to your relatives first. Give it to you, those in your locality, your neighborhood. Give it to your town, your city. Give it to your province. Then give it outside. Why? Many a times a wealthy person boasts that he's giving so much of zakat and charity. Meanwhile, under his nose, the poor and the needy, because of his pride and arrogance, he does not want to interact with them. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding of Deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.